If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
This episode sponsored by Maximus Tribe. You train, you track, you eat right. But if you're over 40, you've felt it. The results don't match the effort anymore. That's not willpower, it's biology. Hormones drop, metabolism slows. Your body stops responding the way it used to. Maximus is the online clinic that reverses your decline with prescription performance medicines, GLP-1s, testosterone, and peptides that reduce belly fat, restore energy, and boost recovery. Over 50,000 high performers have already broken through their plateaus. If you're ready to turn your hard work into measurable results, go to MaximusTribe.com. That's MaximusTribe.com.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Man, it feels so good to win. It does. It feels so good to win, not just for Mississippi State to win, but to also beat Ole Miss and to get the sweep. Bulldogs now on a 8-game winning streak. And we'll get some home cooking for a while. Got a bit of a homestand coming up. Bulldogs currently 17-0 at home. So maybe we can make a run at this thing. Now, Texas has the more favorable schedule because they get Missouri and South Carolina. We just get South Carolina. So we're going to have to work a little bit harder than they are. But I think that's a good thing. Keeps us locked in. Because we can ill afford to kind of stop and get silly and not go into a weekend expecting to play our very best. We've got to go out there and play to our potential. I thought we did this weekend, even though we left a little low-hanging fruit on the vine. Bulldogs come away with 3 wins. So we're going to take our time, work through this sweep. We'll look around the week in the SEC. We'll look ahead to the week in the SEC. And look forward to you guys being with us. If you're on the fence about coming, get off the fence. It's a special team we have, special year we're having. You want to be a part of this, I encourage you to make plans to attend a home game at Mississippi State. Obviously, we've got Governor's Game a little bit later in the schedule in April. And so I would encourage you, again, to start making your plans now. You know our feelings about selling tickets to rival fans, that sort of stuff. There's plenty of Bulldogs out there looking for tickets. And so let's get as much maroon in, and with the way we're playing, we're probably going to rewrite the attendance record books. I think that a school record, an SEC record, a national record, it's all one and the same, is coming attendance this year. And, you know, we've kind of hung our hat on attendance records for years, and we were ready to win an AFL championship. Why don't we do both this year? I think we can. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. Bulldog Burger Company, A great place to be when you need nourishment. I promised you guys I would get one of the Smash Burgers. I did. Got the Black Label Smash because, number one, I'm a Zakk Wylde fan. Some of you know the reference. It's really good. It is. And I love that the bacon they put on there. You don't have to get bacon, but I assume if you're getting a hamburger, you'd like bacon. I assume that. I did get onion rolls for my side, but we also got the chili cheese fries. And one of the things I love about it, we got it to go, is you get your chili, your cheese, your sour cream, and if you want jalapenos, you can add those too. And they all come in separate containers, so it doesn't get your fries soggy. So you kind of dress out the fries the way you want them when you get them. They're great. Great. Not as good as the spring rolls, but they're great. So you guys need to check that out. A lot of new stuff coming your way at Bulldog Burger Company. They like to keep it fresh. It's time for the kind of the menu refresh. And as we get through this thing week to week, I'll do my best to kind of pick up new things and let you know what to expect. But yeah, that Black Label Smash is a great burger. It is. I can now give you a personal testimony and tell you how great it is. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have those spring rolls as your appetizer. They make you and everybody around you better looking. I didn't get them today because we had so much food. But the reality of it is, I love Bulldog Burger Company. I've loved them for a long time, and they've always been there when I've needed them. The entire family of Eat With Us restaurants are just absolutely outstanding. And, of course, Bulldog Burger Company, part of our experience here on the Boneyard. So be sure and check it out. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. Let's start. We can start anywhere. But we'll start on Friday. Why not? We want them all so we can kind of take our time and work through this thing. And, of course, all the concern was really about, hey, how would we perform without Ryan McPherson on the bump on Friday? And we got a great answer. We did. It was great, great. Charlie Foster went out there and really handled business for us. And I think it gave everybody a little bit of a respite. Maybe that's the word we use there. You're like, okay, I don't have to be quite as anxious about this. Maybe it's going to be okay. It certainly was Friday night. That's the game we were most worried about, right? Because Hunter Elliott's really good. He is. Hunter Elliott is really good. And we thought, you know what? We might drop that one and we'll take Saturday and Sunday. And as you continue to see, back of the bullpen arms are not going to fare well against this offense. So let's start with Charlie Foster. And I guess we're actually going to start with us as the visiting team, because we were. The elusive road sweep. You love those, right? We get a one-out walk to Ace Reese, who didn't have a great weekend but had some big swings, right? So while he didn't, like, carry the team, he had some swings that were very impactful. Not an innings at-bat. He works the count. And you can tell we had some elongated at-bats early, just kind of trying to, you know, get Hunter Elliott out of the ballgame. Stallman hits a ball on the nose right at Will Furness, and he's a big, lengthy first baseman. He makes the play there. Bottom of one, Charlie goes 1-2-3. And it's all very efficient. He gets two outs on two pitches, and then on three pitches gets a line out from Bassetta, who went hitless on the weekend, and dating back to Memphis, hitless on the week. Bulldogs, they'll put you in a slump. They will. All right, Bulldogs go 1-2-3 in the second. But I thought, and while he didn't have a hit on the weekend, I thought Vitas Valinkas had some really good at-bats against Hunter Elliott. And, of course, you know, Jacob Parker, the left-on-left thing, you know, it's just it's one of those things you want to avoid. More on Jacob Parker a little bit later in the show. But Vitas really battles here, and again, it kind of runs the pitch count up eventually. Some lengthy at-bats again, and while Vitas didn't reach, he had an impact on Hunter Elliott's pitch count. All right, bottom of the second, Charlie again, fairly efficient. On an 0-2 count, he gets a ground out to second. He gets Furness on a 1-1 count to ground out to first, and then Sermons grounds out to second after a rather lengthy at-bat on a full count. But again, Charlie being efficient here. Bulldogs go 1-2-3 in the third, and including a punch out to Teal to end it. So first time through the order, State's only got a walk. Bottom of third, Charlie goes 1-2-3 again, but this time he gets a ground out to short. He gets Folly looking and then gets Randall to ground out to first unassisted. So if you're like me, I'm kind of holding my breath. I'm thinking, man, we cannot waste this effort from Charlie Foster. We got to find a way to break through. We're in the game. Top of four, we go 1-2-3 again. And Stallman strikes out on three pitches. Reed didn't have a great weekend, at least not at the plate. Bottom of four, they finally get a hit off Charlie. We get a one out, we get a ground out to Federico, who didn't play on Sunday, to open the inning. And then on a 1-2 count, Udermark into the wind, just hits an absolute missile, and he gets out. It's 1-0. And then Charlie bounces back, because how many times have you seen it with Charlie? We get a little adversity, and he kind of gets in his head a little bit, mechanics breakdown. But no. He gets back-to-back strikeouts to get out of it. So it's a 1-0 ball game. It didn't steamroll, and that's maturity. And that Bassetta strikeout was great, too, because he gets down in that count 3-1 and battles back and gets him swinging. Great effort. All right, top of five. State still a 1-0 ball game. And just not getting a whole lot going here. But we get Chance with a one-out single. That kind of breaks up the no-hitter. You start thinking, okay, maybe we can get something going here. And then Vitas, again, he hits into a double play, but again, it's a lengthy at-bat. He runs this thing up to a full count, fights off a few pitches. That matters in a war of attrition, in a pitcher's duel. All right, bottom of five, Furness doubles to right field. They try to bunt, and they pop it up basically between Charlie and Ace. Charlie fields it. So you negate the sacrifice there. Runner has to hold. Then Decker flies out to center field. They're not going to tag from first. And we go get Foster and bring in Gleason. Lengthy at bat here. We get down 2-0. But Gleason works back and gets the fly out to left. And so we've navigated through five innings of play. We're down 1-0. We could have asked nothing more from Charlie Foster. What a great effort. And then you start feeling a little more optimistic about the rest of the weekends, right? Because this is one, this again, the game we worried the most about. Well, finally, State kind of breaks through here in the sixth. Maluski strikes out swinging, and then Drew Wires singles to center. He's hitting in a nine hole in this ballgame. And then Aiden Teal works the walk. Basically, the same pitch that got called a strike against UCLA is called a ball this time. Now, all of a sudden, there's a little adversity. And then Ace Reese rocks one in the left. The run scores were tied. And then Sully, one of the biggest hits of the weekend, pulls the ball inside the bag at third for a double. The run scores, we have the lead. And Elliott is starting to fade. And so the best we could hope for is to be in the game when Elliott leaves. Well, here we are with the lead. They bring in Reb, and we talked about him, or Rabe. We talked about we were going to see him and how good he would be. Well, he walks Stallman, and then Woodson gets an infield hit. The run scores, it's 3-1. Chance fouls out, and then we pinch hit Parker for Valinkas, and he grounds out to the first baseman. And, that, of course, that's to set up the righty-lefty matchup. But nevertheless, Bulldogs 3-1. Right now we're feeling great because we're in the pen. And we know they got some frontline arms, especially in game one. And then Gleason gets a couple things going here. We get a ground out to third, and then there's like this kind of that single to the pitcher. We just couldn't quite get there, kind of in no man's land. We get down 3-0 in the count, work it full. We bring in Maddox Webb, who pitched twice on the weekend and three times on the week. He gets Udermark to strike out swinging, and Bassetta strikes out looking. Great effort from Maddox Webb, who is going to be very important to us down the stretch. Top of seven, State goes 1-2-3. Maluski goes down swinging. Wires flies out to center, and then Teal strikes out looking. And again, I thought, hey, give Rabe a lot of credit. He kind of settled in, kind of kept the game where it was, and that's all you can ask from a reliever is just hold the game where it is until the offense can get caught up. Reuter then lines out to center. We bring in Dane Burns, and he gets Furness to strike out looking. Great effort there, kind of a matchup seal deal. And then things got a little crazy. They decide, okay, we're not going to go with lefty-lefty matchup. We're going to lift Mosley in place of former Bulldog Topher Jones. Great kid. We love him. Wish him the best up there. It's not against us. So we counter. We bring in Ben Davis. Then they decide, okay, we're going to pitch at Pacella for Topher. Well, we walk Pacella. Then we walk Decker. And you guys know, two out walks are of the devil. We got a double dose right here. And then what happens on a 1-1 count? Foley, this is kind of a fluke thing. He just hits the ball hard and gets it up there. And the wind didn't push it out, but it probably pushed it fair. Because chances are that ball was going to just fade left, but instead the wind pushes it back into play, and it's a home run. Now all of a sudden it's a 4-3 game, and I'm thinking, like many of you, we're going to waste this great effort from Charlie Foster, and we're going to lose this game. We survived not having McPherson. We survived Hunter Elliott. We get a lead when he's leaving, and we tagged a couple with three runs on him, and here we are. In the eighth, down a run, despite the fact that we had pitched it and played it pretty well. And then we go 1-2-3. Reese grounds out, Sullivan lines out, Stallman lines out. Bottom of the eighth, we bring in Tyler Pitzer, who was absolutely outstanding. He gets the top third of the order. He gets Federico to strike out swinging, Udermark grounds to second, and then Bassetta strikes out swinging, he of the hitless week. All right, top of nine, things are crazy, right? And we're just down a run, and you're thinking, we got to get a leadoff runner on, and let's move him around, and we'll have an opportunity to let some guys try to drive him in. Well, great job by Ryder Woodson. Singles to center field, so now you're thinking it's a bunt opportunity for Chance. And I suspect Ole Miss thought the same thing, because Bryce is a guy that can actually bunt. Instead, we swing away, and it goes off the third base bag. It ends up being a double anyway because it just kind of rolls out there in no man's land. Now, all of a sudden, there's runners at second and third, nobody out. So now the tied and go-ahead runner on base with nobody out. They bring in Hooks, the lefty. And so it's a lefty-lefty matchup here, Hooks against Parker. And Parker still finds a way to pull that ball to the right side, drives in the run. We're tied. We bring in Sean James in place of Maluski. Now, we get down 1-2 in the count, and they're thinking, okay, we're going to get out of this. We're going to get out of this. We're going to get out of it. No. Sean James, who is basically our third catcher, hits a liner to right field. It's going to get down. The run's going to score. However, it's a little bit wet out there. The rains come, and Bassetta, who is a great hitter but not especially athletic in the outfield, kind of misjudges it, and I think it had something to do with that ball earlier. He had one hit to him that he probably should have gotten. He didn't make a big effort on it. It gets down. He's probably thinking, what's ninth inning? I got to make a play here. Next thing you know, it's down. It goes all the way to the wall. James comes all the way around to third, and then you're thinking, we're going to get an insurance run too. Wires is then hit by the pitch, and Teal, they bring the infield in to cut the run down, grounds to Furness, who comes right home with it, and James is basically out. We do review it. It's a good challenge because why not, right? But he was out. He was. And then Reese goes down looking. But it's a 5-4 ball game, and you're like, and hey, we just need to find a way to get this thing over. And then pitcher goes out there and says, don't worry about it, guys. He gets Reuter out looking, Furness looking, and then Pacella ground out the first, and that's your ball game. And the Bulldogs pull one out of the fire. And, you know, Ben Davis obviously didn't feel good after that ball game. Obviously wasn't his best performance. But we still found a way to win. And, again, what a great job by Charlie Foster. Looking back at your hitting heroes for the Bulldogs, Ace Reese goes 1-for-4 with an RBI and a run scored. Noah Sullivan, 1-for-4. Ryder Woodson, 2-for-4. Bryce Chance, 2-for-4. Sean James, of course, the big triple there. And then Drew Wires goes 1-for-3. So nobody really carried. It was just kind of stringing enough things together. Charlie Foster goes 4 2/3 of an inning, allows 2 hits, 1 run on the solo home run, 3 strikeouts, but more importantly, 0 walks. Great effort and a bunch of groundouts. 7 groundouts in the ballgame. And threw just 64 pitches. Gleason, 2/3 of an inning, allows 1 hit, no runs. Maddox Webb, perfect inning for him, couple strikeouts. Dane Burns, of course, gets his guy to punch out too. Then Ben Davis, obviously you know that already, gives up 1 hit. But because there were two out walks, three runs scored. And then Tyler Pitzer, perfect, struck out 4 to 6 hitters that he faced. So great job there. And, you know, the Ole Miss ERA jumped this weekend. It did. And you get 3 earned runs charged against Hunter Elliott and 2 against Taylor Rabe. Hooks did a good job. Both appearances. Got to give him some credit. Really good effort there. So Bulldogs win game 1. And so we wake up on Saturday thinking we got a chance to win the series today. All right, game.
When you buy LG, you get so much more than just an appliance. You get more done, more cost savings, more peace of mind, and more control. Because LG appliances are designed to do more. Like washers and dryers with AI tech to take out the guesswork. Refrigerators that fit in tight spaces and keep food fresher longer. Or ranges with precise induction cooking and easy cleanup built in. All with the style you want and reliability you can count on. So you can get more from your home every day. LG appliances. So much more. Make life easier with LG. See the latest models and savings now at LG.com.
Two, probably the game we felt the most confident about because, number one, wind blowing in from left center. And we got Tomas Valencias on the mound against a team that struggles against lefties. So, again, probably the game we felt the best about. So winning Friday, you're like, dude, we're going to take the series. Well, we do, right? They threw Hudson Calhoun, who was probably, I don't know if I'd say a weekend starter of the future. He's been really good for them out of the bullpen, only his second college start. We'll see. But give him some credit. He got off to a good start. Teal pops up to third. Reese strikes out swinging. Lengthy at bat there. Sullivan then singles to center field. So there goes a no-hitter. Sullivan is caught stealing, which allowed Stallman, of course, to come back up. Bottom of the first, they get a one-out walk to Uttermark. Lengthy at bat there. Thought we get squeezed a little bit, to be honest with you. And we're unfazed because Tomas goes out there and gets back-to-back strikeouts swinging. Top of the second, give Calhoun some credit. He gets Stallman and Woodson to go down swinging, and then Parker gets a two-out walk. Two-out walks are of the devil. Doesn't come back to bite him, though. Fry then lines out hard to center field. Bottom of second. Furness grounds out to the shortstop. Topher Jones is hit by the pitch on a 1-2 count. You hate that. Like, if I got a plunk him, I'd rather do it on a full count, right? Or no count. You know, I want to be ahead in the count, plunk a guy. Decker then singles to center, chases Topher to third. Foley strikes out looking. Then there's the wild pitch that allows Decker. And I think he was actually, he might have been actually going on a pitch, but he read downward angle really well, got a good break on it. And then Randall goes down swinging, or looking, pardon me, that's the nine-hole hitter. All right, top of the third, Kevin Malusi comes out. The first pitch he sees, he tomahawks it over the fence and left to make it 1-0. So now you're starting to feel a little bit better. Because we hadn't done a whole lot offensively, but now you're on the board. And how good is it to get Big Lou back? Chanson grounds out to third. Teal flies out to center. And Reese goes down swinging. Bottom of the third, Federico gets on a throwing error. The throw was high, and it was a tough one anyway. It was going to be a tough play. We make it a little bit tougher. Good throw probably gets him, but he gets on the error. Then there's the fielder's choice. We forced the runner at second. Uttermark is aboard. And then Bassetta, who was hitless on the weekend in the full week, grounds out to third. Only plays first. Runner takes second. And then Reuter strikes out, swinging. So good effort here. Stranding runner. All right, top of four. And this is when things kind of started to come unraveled for Calhoun. Sully gets down 0-2. And another 80-grade at bat. He works it and works it and works it and works it and gets the walk. Stallman then singles to right on a full count, which pushes Sullivan a second. You think maybe it's a bunting opportunity, but instead, no. We showed bunt, but they wouldn't give it to us. The ball kept going low and low and low, and eventually we get a walk to load the bases. They left Calhoun and bring in Will Libert, who was the former Sunday starter. He gets Parker to ground into a double play. We still get the run home. And just when you think, okay, I wish we'd have got more out of the inning, Gehrig Fry's like, I got you guys. He singles to center, Stallman comes in, and Maluski grounds out. But it's now a 3-0 ball game, and you feel like, you know, with Tomas on the mound and the wind blowing in, this game might already be over. Give Ole Miss some credit for running the pitch count up on Tomas, though. He didn't have his best stuff. They did a good job spoiling some pitches. Lengthy at bat here. Furness grounds out to short. Topher then gets an infield single. Interesting scoring decision there. I mean, I would probably say it's probably a single, but could have gone either way. Decker then walks. Folly singles to second base, and we get the out at second. All right, that's an interesting score. I don't know why that's not a fielder's choice. Oh, I do remember now. It's that's scoring drawn. We couldn't turn two there. Randall then strikes out looking, so it's over. But nevertheless, top of fifth, Bryce comes up, singles to center, trying to get us going. Top of the order's up with a man on. Teal flies out to center. Reason singles to center field and chases Bryce to third. And then Sully grounds into a double play. A chance again here for us to tack on. And you always want to. You can never have enough runs. It doesn't matter who's on the bump. Federico, give him a lot of credit here. 12-pitch at bat, he strikes out looking, but Tomas' count was already getting up there, and we got the short week as we play on Thursday, which means he's going to move up a day. And then he gets Odomark to strike out swinging and Becetta to strike out looking, he of the hitless week. Top of the sixth, Stallman pops up to second. Woodson, again, comes through here on a 2-2 count, singles to left. And then Parker hits a Ruthian blast to right field to make it 5-0. Now you're feeling it really good. And Gehrig Fry says, just wait. 3 pitches later, he also homers to right field to make it a 6-0 ball game. Maluski then walks, and they're like, this is it for Libert. They bring in Hancock, who I thought was really good for them. He, again, as a reliever, your job's to hold the game in place. He gets Chance and Teal both to fly out on back-to-back pitches. And now it's bottom of six. Guys, we still got to cover 12 outs here. It's 6-0. And you were hoping Tomas would at least get through the sixth, maybe the seventh, but give them some credit for running up the pitch count. And again, Valencia didn't have his best stuff. He didn't. We bring in Sweeney, and he plunks the first guy. And now you're thinking, here we go. Then we walk Furness after a lengthy bat. Now there's runners on first and second. Still plenty of ball game left. Topher helps us out a little bit, flies out to right field. And then a great play. Great play by Maluski and Stallman. You know, people typically don't throw it to trail runner. They typically don't. They throw it to lead runner. But Furness starts getting a little bit lackadaisical out there, and then Reed Stallman catches it and then reaches between his legs and tags him. I don't know if he turns, he's going to get him. What a great instinctive play by both Maluski and Reed Stallman, and I suspect we saw something in the dugout and signaled it in, and it would make it work. So that's a free out right there. Now all of a sudden, the promising situation for Ole Miss is now desperate. Decker singles up the middle. The run scores. They finally get on the board, and then we get Folly to strike out looking. But how big was that pickoff, right? I don't think that Furness is going to make his way around to third on that, but they would still have an opportunity, plus you never know how the pitching sequence is going to go. So it's 6-1 headed to the seventh. Reese grounds out the short. Sullivan strikes out swinging. Stallman works a lengthy at bat and gets a walk, and then Woodson goes down swinging. So not much going for the Bulldogs there. Bottom of seven, we bring in Maddox Miller, who was outstanding. Outstanding. We get Randall to ground out. Federico strikes out swinging. Udemark singles to right field. Just kind of touches it. Becetta gets on base finally on a walk. And then Reuter goes down swinging. And I really thought that maybe with Becetta we were being a little bit careful, but it's a lefty-lefty matchup. But there's still a freshman out there. And Maddox Miller is going to be a weekend rotation guy in probably next year. All right, top of eight. It's a 1-2-3 inning for State. Parker lines out to right. Fry grounds out to second. And Maluski goes down swinging. But again, it's a 5-run thing. We got 6 outs to get. Furness singles to the shortstop. And then we get Topher to strike out swinging. And then Decker grounds to second. Furness takes second. And then Foley fouls out to the first baseman. Foley, I mean, outside of that wind-aided home run, he didn't do anything all weekend. All right, top of the ninth. Chance grounds out to third, and then Teal gets on a fielding error. And then they decide they're going to try to throw in behind him, and they throw the ball away. He takes second. We couldn't do anything with it. The Reese and Sully both go down swinging. Bottom of the ninth, last chance for Ole Miss. Randall lines out to right. Federico walks. There's a pass ball. He takes it. Udermark grounds out to second. Federico moves around to third, and then Bassetta, a fitting ending to this ball game, goes down swinging. It's Maddox Webb. Great effort from him. Great effort. And he didn't have his best stuff. His third appearance of the week. Threw on Tuesday, threw on Friday, threw on Saturday. Kind of an old school mentality. But again, at no point did it ever feel like in those middle innings that we were in trouble. We talked about it. Valencias goes five innings, three hits, no runs, nine strikeouts, two walks. Had the one hit by pitch, too. Brennan Sweeney goes one inning, allows one hit, one run, one strikeout, one walk. Maddox Miller goes two innings, two hits, three Ks, and the one walk. Maddox Webb closes it out. Not a save situation, but a great good inning for him. The one strikeout, the one walk, no hits, no runs. And the Bulldogs get it done with 160 pitches. Really good effort. Valencas advances his record to 6-0. Great effort. You're hitting heroes. And, again, we kind of spread this thing out. It was nine hits. But, it just kind of shows the depth of this lineup that we don't need one guy to carry us. Ace, Noah, Reed, Ryder, Jacob, and Maluski all with one hit apiece. Garrick Fry had two. Yeah, Parker had one. So, again, that's the thing about having length in your order, is that if one guy has an off night, there's a bunch of guys that can pick him up. All right, let's take some time now to look at the third game of the weekend, which just happened today. We knew with Townsend coming out, we didn't know how deep he'd go. Talked about that in the preview. Didn't know how deep he'd go, but he's really good and can throw five pitches for strikes. And jumping on him early was huge because you could kind of see in the Ole Miss countenance, they were a little bit jazzed because they're their guy, right? I mean, really, he's been their best pitcher this year. Hunter Elliott's the ace, but Townsend's been really good. Missed a spot in the rotation. Of course, he leaves a Texas game in the second inning. And he missed last week, had some bullpens, and as they said, hit all his benchmarks, and he was good to go. And I thought he was really good today. Came out a little bit amped up, according to Mike Bianco. Teal opens up with a double to left center. And then Reese, on a 1-0 count, absolutely torches one to right field, makes it 2-0. Right now, you're all feeling pretty good. And if you're an Ole Miss person, you're not. Sully flies out to center. Stallman strikes out. Woodson strikes out. That became a bit of a theme here before we got Townsend out of the ballgame. It's 2-0. Ole Miss changes the lineup. Federico sits. They move Decker to leadoff. He's out on two pitches. And then Udermark walks. There's a wild pitch, allows him to go along. Bassetta lines out. And then Udermark tags and takes third. And then Reuter singles through the left side. So the run scores. And that's just good baseball. Furness walks. And then there's the bunt to load the bases, but we didn't go for it. Duke's like, nah, it's cool. Strikeout swinging on three pitches. Good job by Duke to just kind of bow up right there. Top of second. Parker down looking. Fry doubles to left center, but we can't do anything with it. Raymond grounds to first, which moves the runner along, but then Chance flies out to right field. And I really thought with two outs and a runner in scoring position, Bryce can come through there for us. I mean, nobody bets 1,000, right? Bottom of second. Bounce back inning for Duke. He gets a 1-2-3 inning, a foul out to first from Foley. Randall and Decker then go down swinging. Top of the third, Townsend kind of found it the second time through the order. He gets Teal, Reese, and Sullivan to all strike out. Teal looking, Reese swinging, and Sullivan looking. And to be fair, I really thought that this strike zone was the worst we had all year. And I don't mean biased in favor of Ole Miss. I thought it was bad for both teams. And you never knew from one inning to the next what a strike was. It was terrible. I'd love to see a TrackMan data on Sunday's game between State and Ole Miss. I would. I really would love to see it. Bottom of third. Udermark flies out to right. Bassetta walks. He's on base again. Didn't have a hit, but he's on base again. And then Reuter walks. And now you start thinking, okay, here's where they tie us. Furness singles to the left side. The runner has to hold. Base is loaded. Benduke says, no, thou shalt not pass. He gets Mosley to strike out swinging. And that's in that situation with bases loaded and less than two outs, you want a non-productive out. You get one there. And then Pacella flies out to left field on the very first pitch. Wasted opportunity for Ole Miss, but a great job of execution by Duke Stone. Top of four. It just kind of keeps going here, right? Stallman strikes out looking. Woodson strikes out swinging. There's two outs. And then Jacob Parker, 1-1 count. He homers just inside the foul pole or the fair pole, depending on your preference, to make it a 3-1 ball game. Fry then hits one back, and there's a fielding error. Pretty crazy how this play worked, right? So we hit the ball pretty hard. The pitcher is a little late getting over, so he's not measuring his steps. They initially call Fry out. He immediately calls for a review. They do it, and he is safe. He is safe. Three pitches later, Andrew Raymond gets ahead 2-0 in a count and sends a moonshot to right field. Now it's 5-1. So what a big challenge by Brian O'Connor, Mississippi State there. And it, in many respects, it kind of felt like the kill shot because you knew at this point Townsend was done and they were going to have to recycle some arms, and that bullpen's maybe not as deep as they think it is. But right here, a lot of Ole Miss fans started thinking, you know, maybe we should head for the door. Chance grounds out to short. That's your inning. And then Duke comes out. What do you want after you put up a crooked number? You need a clean inning. That's what you get. You get a foul out to third, a fly out to left, and a fly out to center. Very efficient inning for Duke after having some struggles early. But again, I think some of these umpires are not aware that you have to call strikes across the plate. In this particular inning, there was one strike called across the plate because Duke was challenging hitters. That's it. You're getting it done. All right, top of fifth, they bring in J.P. Robertson, no relation that I'm aware of, in place of Townsend. We kind of greeted him a little rudely, too. Teal singles to right field on a 2-0 count and then goes to second on the wild pitch. Reese grounds to short, which moves the runner to third. Sully goes down looking, and then Stallman comes through, big hit in this ball game, singles through the left side. They had the shift on, and he just kind of guides it over to the left side. The run scores, makes it 6-1, and then we get caught trying to steal. And listen, I love trying to finish the ball game. I do. All right, bottom of five, Stone's still in here. It's a walk to Uttermark and then a wild pitch. And there's a pop-up to short. There's your first out. And then he, again, just kind of grips up here. Gets Reuter to strike out looking. Furness goes down swinging on three pitches. And that's a righty-lefty matchup. So great job. You give up the leadoff walk, and he gets in a scoring position without the benefit of an out. And then you get three non-productive outs to close the frame. Top of six, Woodson, leadoff walk here, and you think, we got to find a way to get this thing done. Parker then walks. Robertson's done. They bring in Hooks. Right here, we're thinking, let's find a way to get a bunt down. We can't. And we end up grounding into a double play. It's just bad baseball there. I mean, it is. And then really kind of a non-competitive at bat for Vitus as he pinch hit for Raymond. But give Hooks a lot of credit. He came in there and put the fire out. But it's 6-1, going to bottom of six. Maluski takes over at catcher. And Duke is still just kind of dealing it up here. And these at-bats are very, very lengthy. You could tell he was fading a little bit, but he was trying to gut it out for you guys. Mosley strikes out looking. Pacella strikes out swinging. And then another lengthy at-bat, and Foley is a walk. Randall then singles to the shortstop on an 0-2 count. And then Decker walks. Bases loaded again. Again for Ole Miss. We bring in Ben Davis. He quickly falls behind 2-0 and then throws the sinker and gets a fly out to center field. And it's like if you're Ole Miss, you're thinking this was our chance to get back in the ballgame and we get nothing. And then somehow you'll like it, learn to live with it. All right, top of seven. Bryce opens up with a single through the right side. And again, I just want an insurance run, right? One swing can't beat us now, but I just anytime that you go through these – like this middle inning malaise, you want to keep putting pressure on them, especially on Sunday. Jansen still second, so now we have a runner in scoring position with less than two outs, nobody out. Teal flies out to center, and it's kind of one of those in-between sinking line drives, and give the kid a lot of credit. He made a good play there, but you know Chance has to see it down, so he stays there. Ground out to second, and how significant is that, right? Because if that ball gets down or if it's hit a little bit better and we're able to tag there, we're going to score a run there. That's just how baseball works. And then Sully goes down looking. And again, I thought this was the product of the bad zone. Not that Sully had a great weekend. I'm not going to sit here and say that. He'll tell you the same. But I thought we got called out on a ball that was probably a ball to ball and a half off the plate. All right, so we're just working through this. Ben Davis goes out there breathing fire in the seventh. Gets Bissett, I mean, this is the heart of the order. Gets Bissett to strike out looking. Gets Reuter to go down swinging. And then Furness grounds out off of Ben Davis. Lines it off Ben, and Ben just kind of shrugs it and picks it up and throws to first. And that's your seventh in the books. State goes 1-2-3 in the eighth. Stallman goes down swinging. Woodson swinging. And then Parker flies out to right field. And talking to some friends earlier, I said, off the bat, I thought it was gone. Yeah, it's like you almost expect it. Bottom eight. Mosley grounds out to third, and then Pacella goes down swinging. So two outs here, and you think, hey, we're going to just cruise, right? No. Foley on an 0-2 count singles it back up the box. And then Randall, first pitch swinging, doubles to left center. So 2 men in scoring position here. And then Decker walks on a 4-pitch walk, and you're thinking, Davis is losing it. He's losing it. We need to go get him. We stick with him, and he gets Uttermark to strike out looking. What a great effort from Ben. Gets ahead in that count 1-2 and finishes him. And so three opportunities for Ole Miss with the bases loaded, and they get nothing. All right, top of nine, we get that insurance run we were hoping for. I was hoping for a mercy ruling, to be honest with you. But Fry grounds out in the second, and then Maluski gets ahead 2-0. He's pitching, facing Waters here. And homers to dead center field. Off the bat, I wasn't sure. When I watch the center fielder just kind of turn and watch, I said, isn't that great? 7-1 Bulldogs. Chance grounds out the first, and Teal goes down swinging. Bottom nine, you knew it was going to take something miraculous for them. And again, they looked so defeated. I thought they took some selfish swings here. Bissetta strikes out looking, again, capping a hitless week for him. Reuter goes down swinging, and then Furness singles to left field to kind of keep it going. Topher Jones pitch hits for Mosley and then grounds to third to end the ball game, the weekend, and the series as your Bulldogs sweep in-state rival Ole Miss 3-0. I hate to call them the rival in baseball because it's really more LSU. We want to beat Ole Miss in anything. It doesn't matter if it's Pictionary or whatever. We want to win. Bulldogs get 7 runs on 9 hits. Ole Miss 1 run on 7 hits. They left a ton on base. A ton on base. 14. We leave 3. They left 14 on base. And they say, well, you know, we didn't get the big hit. Well, it's because Mississippi State made the big pitch. And also, too, one of the things that I want to point out, too, this Ole Miss team's not very athletic. There's some guys that are. But by and large, I think in many respects the game has kind of passed the staff by. What I mean by that is you need guys that can hit doubles and steal bases and things like that, and you need a bunch of them. You can't just sit back on your back foot like a church league softball game and try to hit home runs all day. And so when you have pitchers that can work down in the zone, this is what happens. This is what happens. Aiden Teal, 2-for-5 in the ballgame. Ace Reese, 1-for-4, of course, a 2-run home run. Reed Stallman goes 1-for-4, big RBI for him. Jacob Parker goes 1-for-3 with that solo home run. Garrick Fry goes 1-for-4. Andrew Raymond 1-for-2 with that 2-run shot. Maluski 1-for-1 with a solo home run. And Bryce Chance 1-for-4. So the Bulldogs hit 4 home runs in the ballgame. And Ole Miss hits none. They didn't hit any on Saturday either. You know, we did the numbers on this before the weekend. They were 1-3 in games they hadn't hit home runs. They are now 1-5 in games that they don't hit home runs. Now, what's interesting, too, we talk about all the strikeouts. They had 14. And so beginning the weekend, they were 6-5 in games where they excuse me, 5-4 in games where they strike out 10 times or more. Now they're 5-7. So, again, we point these things out to kind of help you prepare. That's the pathway, right? You keep the ball in the ballpark, make them swing at your pitch, and you win ball games, and that's what Mississippi State did. And again, not the best performance from Duke from a statistical standpoint, but man, he made some big pitches when he had to. You don't walk seven hitters and win a game very often, especially one like this where you only allow one run. You may win it 9-8, but you typically don't walk seven guys and get a win. And he did. Duke Stone, another dub for him. And he is now 5-0. We talk about it all the time. Teams that find a bona fide third starter and get production from the bottom third of their lineup go to Omaha and ultimately play for championships. We've got that. Duke works into the six, 5 2/3 of an inning, 4 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, 7 walks. Again, this is a gutsy performance, and sometimes you got to go out there and do it. Ben Davis goes 2 1/3 innings, allows 2 hits, 4 strikeouts, and the 1 walk. A redemptive effort for Ben. Dane Burns goes the final inning, allows 1 hit, 2 strikeouts, and, of course, the ground out to end it there. Great job. Great job by everybody involved. Cade Townsend, a guy that only allowed 2 runs the entire year, gave up 5 runs on 5 hits, 3 of them earned, 8 strikeouts, no walks. Great effort from him, but this Mississippi State offense is legit. J.P. Robertson goes allows 1 run on 2 hits in his 1 inning of work. Hooks, again, very good. And Waters gives up that solo shot to Maluski late. So a great team effort for your Bulldogs. No ifs, ands, or buts about that. Nobody can complain about the weekend. We had some anxious moments in time, but we found a way to always come through. And the Bulldogs win it. 6-1 on Sunday, or 7-1 on Sunday, 6-1 on Saturday, and then 5-4 on Friday. At the end of the day, all three of those wins are so big. You want to win a series on the road, but man, when you win another road game, and it makes so much to your RPI, but also, too, if you're chasing the SEC championship, when you get 3 over 2-1, right, you only gain 1 game in the standings when you get a split. Sometimes you gain a little bit more, and you got to keep pace with Texas. So great job from the Diamond Dogs. No question. Great series. And time for our close with Blair, player of the day. Right, Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. An outstanding friend to have, especially when you're in need. And you say, what needs, Steve? Well, sometimes you may need to move. Sometimes you may need a new home because you've outgrown the old one. Sometimes you just want to upgrade. Sometimes life throws you a curveball. You got to make changes in life. You need somewhere to keep all your stuff and lay your head. Let Blair Chandler help you with all that. There's no point overthinking it. Just dial 601-500-2344. Again, 601-500-2344. Call or text them today. Save that number in your phone as Mortgage Guy. You may forget the name. You won't forget the need. And you'll be glad you have a Mortgage Guy. Get his 25 years of experience and expertise working directly for you. You'll be glad you did. Blair Chandler, our friend in the mortgage industry at closeatblair.com. Okay. We're not going to do a top 10 list today, but we are going to talk a little bit about music, and we'll keep it short. We've got a lot to cover. Our musical segment, our normal top 10, brought to you by Calido Guitars. That's C-A-L-I-D-O Guitars. I guess I could pick the player of the day, right? I guess I could do that instead of rushing this, but the wife's coming home soon, and I want to hang with her. But, your player of the day, I think we got to go with Jacob Parker. I do. He had some big swings that allowed us to kind of separate. You could go with so many players because it was total team effort. I just thought Jacob Parker had some very huge impact on the series. So Jacob Parker, who may be in line to be your SEC freshman again this week, who we'll see. We'll find out tomorrow. It could happen. All right. Now for our musical moment brought to you by Calido Guitars. As you hear the clickety-clack of Marley the Black Lab walking across the floor to greet her mother, who is now easing off to sleep. I wanted to spend a little time with Dana and Marley, I guess, before we finish the show, because I promised you guys I'd get it up tonight. I know some of you are waiting for the show. But nevertheless, what I wanted to talk about today, one of the things that I do, like there are some songs that are kind of anthemic to me. And I wanted to feature one today that I've been jamming most of the day. And we've talked about it on the show before, but it's You Can't Bring Me Down by suicidal tendencies. Now, don't let the name fool you, okay? They're not some morbid band, but they're just kind of a high-energy punk band. I saw them, and in many respects, it kind of changed so much for me. Opened for Queensryche. Many of you were there. I had never seen Suicidal before. I was there to see Queensryche, and I was blown away by how great Suicidal was. And so many of you knew the songs that I didn't know, and I thought I had missed out. So I had to get caught up, and I share that song with you because it is very aggressive. It is a bit angry, and it's got one of my favorite lyrics. It says, you wouldn't know what crazy was, and unless, even if Charles Manson was sitting on your porch eating Fruit Loops. But I love the song, and it's one of those that kind of gets me going, right? And I hope that you have some songs out there, maybe not quite as angry as that one, but nevertheless, I hope that you have some out there and that you find some songs of meaning and inspiration and motivation for you. One of the things that Dana talks about a lot with me about how I'm so incredibly focused on things, and I get almost laser focused on kind of what I'm focused on, and then the things around me sometimes kind of fall by the wayside. It's a positive and a negative. The good part of that is, for the most part, I let stuff rub off my back. It just runs off me. There are some other people, like, they'll say something stupid, and you just decide, okay, I'm just not going to watch that on Twitter, so I'll just mute them. And they go, oh, you're so soft. No, I just don't have any room in my life for that, you know, unsolicited negativity, you know, just for doing a job. And there's a lot of people out there that have a lot of opinions about what we do and how we do it. I would encourage you and give you a lesson that my grandmother gave me years ago. You know, what other people think about you is not your business. But she kind of broke it down like this. You know, in your 20s, you kind of hope people are talking about you. In your 30s, you wonder what everybody's saying about you. In your 40s, you don't really care. And then when you get in your 50s, you realize they weren't talking about you in the first place. But sometimes they are. But at the end of the day, you can't let other people's opinion change your opinion of yourself. I'm not saying to avoid constructive criticism, because I think that's one of the most willful things in life. For those of us that want to advance, I had somebody a while back make a comment that I had dreads. And I have these conversations maybe once a year. Maybe somebody brings it up in a negative way. And the first thing that I would say is, what's my body, my choice, right? Right? That's what we've gone with. That's become the mantra for people. But I'd also say, too, there's a lot of people that are just kind of ignorant, because every culture has had dreads. I mean, you know, we didn't have scissors for a long time, right? So this is my hair in its most natural state. So I make a decision to look and act the way I want to. And sometimes I make decisions about how I feel. Other times things just kind of pop up. And, you know, I had one of those moments earlier today, which is one of the reasons I put that song on, right? Because you get in a funk every now and again. You think, Steve, how in the world could you be in a funk after we just swept Ole Miss? Well, I mean, just things happen. Sometimes, you know, you'll have an old memory creep up, and or maybe some unresolved questions in your mind. And that kind of happened to me today. And so I began to kind of overthink and kind of forecast failure in some respects. But I bounce back pretty quick. And so I share that with you just because music is a healer for me, and I hope it is for you. I know some of you are not music people, and that's okay. I have just found that sometimes music says for me what I can't say for myself. And or maybe I don't have the words for it, and I find them in lyrics and things of that nature. And that's one of the reasons we do a top 10 list. And I've had so many of you that have reached out and thanked me for the top 10 list, and thanked me for turning you on to new bands and reminding you of old favorites. But I just hope that you find songs of empowerment, right? And when Dana and I went to marriage boot camp years ago, I was thinking about this earlier today, we went to boot camp, and there was nothing wrong. We just thought it was a 25-year anniversary, and I thought, hey, wouldn't it be great? Number one, I'd seen like marriage boot camp on like the Family Jewel show with Gene Simmons. I said, man, it'd be cool to go do that, like to be in a controlled environment, just kind of clean out the closet. And I thought, this is a good time for us to take inventory. I learned so much about my wife, and I think she learned a lot about me during that exercise. And at the end of it, Elizabeth, the lady that ran it, kind of gave everybody a song. And I don't even remember what it was. I remember what it was. It was Whatever It Takes by Imagine Dragons. That was the song she picked for me. And I think about that sometimes, like, how did she know? How could she gather that so quickly about me? And one of the things, being in recovery, like, I can go from an even keel and talk about my pain very matter-of-factly. And it's because I've healed so much. And there are some things I don't like to talk about because I'm still dealing with that stuff. But the very first day, I think I've shared with you guys before, but it's worth sharing again. The very first day, I go in there, and like most of the people in that marriage boot camp had these long faces. And they weren't in the same place Dana and I were in, right? We were there to do some maintenance. They were there to save their marriages or maybe decide that it wasn't worth saving, which is sad. It really is. But sometimes it's necessary. Anyway, so this guy gets up and he talks and, you know, he's just very unaffected. And then I get up and I start talking. She asked me, what do you want to get out of this? And I don't know why I was so emotional. I think it's one of those divine appointments where, number one, I love Dana so much. I do. I love my wife. I do. And that's not to say that it's always been a bed of roses. It hadn't been. I hadn't always been the easiest person to live with either. But I love her. And I plan to be with her the rest of my life. And we had that discussion today. You know, I even said, I'm going to be with you and only you the rest of my life. And she goes, me too. And it's not just lip service. But I think sometimes, like, I'm a words of affirmation person. So I probably goad her sometimes, maybe to tell me something positive, you know. But anyway, so I get up and I'm just so emotional. I was so incredibly emotional. And I don't know why. But I said everything that I said. I want this and I want that. And I don't want to be in this room one day having to fight for my marriage. And this lady gets up. And before she spoke, she pointed at her husband. And she said, I want him to feel about me the way he, as she pointed at me, feels about her. And she pointed to Dana. And I think that was a big moment for Dana. You know, because all of a sudden it's like you sit in that room and you begin to realize what's possible if you don't do some routine maintenance in your relationship. You can easily get off the track. And I've got friends that I'm still Facebook friends with and I hear from occasionally and from that boot camp. But I would just encourage you to, again, this kind of our moment in music. When I hear that song, I'm not a big Imagine Dragons fan. They're very talented, but it's just not my wheelhouse. But every so often, I'll put that song on too, because I am the guy that'll do whatever it takes. I will do whatever it takes, whether it be relationship-wise, parentally, or business-wise. I'll do whatever it takes. And sometimes I step on a toe or two, and that's really more of a them problem than a me problem. But I make amends wherever I feel like I owe them. But if I don't owe them, I'm not going to change who I am to fit in somebody else's box. And I hope you won't either. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. We love Campus Bookmart, and we have for a long time. We have. Because they got the stuff we want. When it's gift buying time in your life, don't overthink it. Don't get cute. Don't go out here and try to get in the other lane. We're very simple people. We want more Mississippi State stuff. Like, if you're thinking about buying something for me, just buy me some Mississippi State stuff. I'll be happy. I will. I won't complain. I'll feel like you know me. I'll feel like you love me. So, when you think about the people that you know and love in your life, give them what they want. That's more Mississippi State merch, whether that be apparel, that fashionable new three-quarter zip, a polo shirt, that T-shirt you want, maybe a decorative item for the home, diploma frame, whatever. There's so much stuff out there. We can never get enough Mississippi State stuff. Like, people contact me from time to time and say, Steve, I'm getting rid of this. Yes, just send it to me. Just send it to me. I'll take yes, yes, yes. I will take all the Mississippi State stuff you got because I love Mississippi State. And there's no better place to buy Mississippi State merch other than Campus Bookmart. Stop by and see their smiling faces the next time that you're in Stark, Vegas. If you can't make it to town or perhaps game day is a difficult shopping day for you, hit them up on the internet at campusbookmart.net. We'll give you a phrase that pays, that is BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. That gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's take a look at the weekend that was around the Southeastern Conference, man. It's been a wild weekend. It's been a weekend of sweeps, right? I mean, it's just weird to think about that aspect of it. A lot of sweeps, which puts some pressure on us, man, because it means that we have got to keep pace with the teams around us and the teams right there with us. That's just kind of how it is. So we'll go back to Thursday, which was the day after my mom's birthday. I'll get to see my mom tomorrow, and I get to have some awards, right? So Texas, back on Thursday, destroyed Oklahoma 14-0. Destroyed them. I left you guys. It was like a 4-0 ball game early. 14-0, it goes 7 innings. The Longhorns pound out 17 hits. All right, we get into a Friday. It's a full slate of games. And, of course, Georgia, competitive game with South Carolina. It was a 5-run second that made the difference as Georgia gets game one of that. Daniel Jackson, 4 RBI and a home run. Texas A&M had to work hard to beat Mizzou. And give Mizzou a lot of credit for not quitting, because, guys, after the fourth, it was 8-1 A&M. And what do you know? It swells to 10-1. And then Missouri puts up a six spot and then add two in the seventh to make it a 10-9 game. The Aggies get a big insurance run in a top of nine and hold on to win 11-9. Missouri actually out-hit the Aggies 13-8. Alabama, mercy rules and walks off Auburn 11-1. It was competitive for a while, but man, in those later innings, the Auburn bullpen just kind of failed them. They gave up 7 runs in the final two innings to lose 11-1. Tyler Fay, another great performance for Alabama. He goes 5 innings, though, and allows just 1 run. He's now 5-2 on the year. Bryce Fowler, 3-for-5 with a solo home run. Florida, game one against Arkansas in what proved to be a sweep. The Gators get them 9-4, and again, this was a competitive game until late. Florida puts up 3 in the top of the ninth to basically put this game away. And, you know, again, I told you guys this Arkansas offense is just so pedestrian. And I know we look back and think, my gosh, but it may be the best thing that ever happened to us. We hadn't lost a game since we left Fayetteville. All right, Kentucky in game one against LSU, they jump out 4-0. The Tigers get 2 in the third, and then Kentucky tacks on 3 in the seventh and then kind of cruised late 7-4. Jackson Jelkin, 6-0 in the SEC. Nobody's talking about him. He went 8 innings in that ball game. Good game. Seth Dardar with 3-for-4 for the Tigers. Of course, your Bulldogs win 5-4. And then, wild game, wild series in Nashville. And we need Vanderbilt to be good, right? We'll take care of Tennessee ourselves. We need Vanderbilt to win some games. Well, they get up 2-0, and then it's a 2-2 game, and it ends up going to the 10th, and Vanderbilt walks it off 3-2. And Vanderbilt had 3 walk-offs against Tennessee this weekend. How crazy is that? Texas secures the series win. They get down 3-0 in this ball game, and then they fight back and take it 4-3 in the 10th to beat Oklahoma and take the series. So, again, you know, we're right there with Texas. Feels like we're on a collision course with them. All right, you get into Saturday. Florida takes the series from Arkansas. 7-4 is your final. Very competitive game through the middle innings, and then it kind of boils down to a battle of the bullpens. Florida with 3 in the 5th, 2 in the 8th. Arkansas tacks on 1 to make it interesting, but ultimately lose. And again, the Arkansas offense, just 6 hits. Just 6 hits. Again, it's a missed opportunity for us. Georgia and South Carolina, another tough game. And granted, Carolina's still losing, but Monty Lee's got the kids at least playing tight. They're managing the game pretty well. Henry Allen, former Diamond Dog commitment, goes 2-for-4. Spent a fall with us. Went 2-for-4 with a solo home run in the win. That proved to be very beneficial as Georgia wins 3-1 to secure the series win. Another wild game. Wild game between Tennessee and Vandy. Vandy gets 5 in the fourth, and then Tennessee ties it in the sixth, makes it 5-5. It goes 16 innings. And as I tweeted out, Duty Noble would be so proud. With one down in the bottom of the 16th with the bases loaded, they execute a suicide squeeze and walk off Tennessee again. Craziness. So Vanderbilt takes the series. That's good for Mississippi State. And, of course, your Bulldogs win 6-1. LSU, no trouble with Kentucky in Game 2. They win it 7-0. Kentucky kind of, you know, hit-wise was right there with LSU, but a couple of big errors made the difference. LSU just a little more efficient in what they did offensively. They win it 7-0. A&M, no trouble with Missouri in Game 2. They win it 14-6. But, again, Missouri swinging the bat. They had 11 hits. They just couldn't string things together. Donovan Jordan goes 3-for-3 with a solo home run in a losing effort for the Tigers. Gavin Lyons wins the game in relief. But, again, Aggies putting up crooked numbers. 7 runs there in the third. Yeah, and granted, Missouri doesn't have great pitching, but they're clearly better. They're just not SEC caliber. Texas with the sweep. They win it in the 10th. And, again, Oklahoma, again, squanders an early lead. They're up 4-2, and you think they're okay. And then Texas, 1 in the 7th, 1 in the 8th, and then finally walk it off in the 10th. Alabama sweeps Auburn. Is that right? I guess that was game two. Yeah, game two. Yeah, they win the series, and again, another walk-off situation. Auburn scores first, and then in the fourth, Alabama makes it 2-1. Auburn ties it in the 7th, and then in the 9th, Alabama walks it off. Kind of a crazy play, but that's what happened. Chris Rembert, very talented second baseman for Auburn, goes 2-for-4. Bryce Fowler, again, doing some good things for Alabama, 2-for-4 for him as well. And we get into Sunday. Now, you know these Sunday games are awfully interesting because you have a lot of back of the bullpen guys pitching. That was the case in Nashville. Tennessee fighting to get one. And they start out just like gangbusters, right? They score in the first 5 innings. Well, Vanderbilt's pacing right there with them. Vanderbilt scores 10 runs in the first 4 innings. But all of a sudden, you start doing the math here. It's 12-10. And then, in the 9th, Tennessee gets 3. And that's going to make it a 15-10 ball game. You think, well, okay, Tennessee will salvage a game. And Vanderbilt's like, no, we're not doing that. Craziness ensues here. Tennessee has to go to the bullpen. Vandy gets a couple of runs. It's awfully interesting. And then they get a walk-off grand slam. So they walk off Tennessee 3 straight times. Tennessee leaves Nashville 18-10 overall. Florida had to really earn it in game 3. It's a 1-1 game after one. And then Florida gets a couple. Arkansas gets one back in the fourth to make it a 3-2 ball game. And then Florida with 3 to kind of get some separation. But Arkansas just kind of keeps tiptoeing around. But ultimately, Florida wins it 7-6. Both teams trade runs in the 8th. And then Arkansas couldn't do anything late, you know. Georgia sweep. Again, competitive game with South Carolina. South Carolina's 13-6 and 1-8 in the league and played 3 very good games against Georgia in Athens. And South Carolina had 13 hits. Georgia's pitching staff is not great. And I think you're going to see that on full display. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that this week. But, guys, Carolina had a 6-3 lead in the 5th. And then from there, it was pretty much all Georgia. Justin Bird wins in relief. Trey Phelps, 3-for-4. K.J. Scobie, talented shortstop from South Carolina, goes 3-for-4. Football scored down in Baton Rouge. And it looked early on like Kentucky was in great shape. They jump up 6-0, make it 7-0, and then LSU gets 6 in the bottom of the third to make it a 7-6 game. And then Kentucky answers right back with 3. They answer and begin to get some separation. LSU gets one back in the 5th, and the next thing you know, it's all Tigers the rest of the way. They turn a 10-7 ball game into a 17-10 win. Ben Cleaver pitched a little bit, just didn't work out well for him. Gavin Guidry, good job for him. Chris Stanfill went 4-for-5 in that ballgame. One of those after fouling a ball off his knee, and then he just takes it the other way. Alabama completes the sweep. Again, Auburn's offensive struggles continue. They only have 2 hits against Sunday pitching. Alabama wins it 3-1. You know Auburn can pitch it. But the deeper we get into this, and that was one of the worries early on, like against Youngstown State, they couldn't score. And now here they are again, deeper into the year. They've got some very talented players, but it just seems they're just so much inconsistency. But give Alabama some credit. That's back-to-back weeks. The Alabama pitching staff has done a really good job. All right, Texas A&M, Mercy rolls Missouri 14-3. And again, Missouri, again, swinging the bat pretty well. They get 9 hits in the game, but they, again, can't string it together. Caden Sorrell goes 3-for-5 in the ballgame. Caden Peer, 3-for-4 for Missouri. Mississippi State, of course, wins 7-1. And so, you know, kind of looking back at all this, you begin to kind of think, well, you know, Steve, what does the weekend really look like? Well, I think it's pretty safe to say there were a lot of teams this weekend that went in thinking, hey, let's get one, right? Let's get one. Maybe we can get it taken care of, but they don't. So Texas sweeps Oklahoma. Georgia sweeps South Carolina. Alabama sweeps Auburn. Florida sweeps Arkansas. State sweeps Ole Miss. Vanderbilt sweeps Tennessee, A&M sweeps Missouri, and then LSU and Kentucky split. So you have 7 sweeps on the weekend. That makes a big difference. It truly does. So let's take a quick look at the standings. Again, your Bulldogs tied for first in the Southeastern Conference through 3 weekends of play. It was very crowded last week. It's still fairly crowded now. Mississippi State, Texas, and Georgia all 7-2. The Bulldogs have won more games than anybody in the Southeastern Conference. I don't know if you knew that. Bulldogs' overall record is 24-4. We played one more game than Texas. But Bulldogs, again, the SEC's longest winning streak at 8, 2 back-to-back 4-0 weeks. And, man, we'd love to have another one this week, right? We open with Grambling on Tuesday and then have Georgia coming in for our Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. But very interesting type stuff. And, of course, Texas loses in the midweek, and then they sweep the weekend. Kind of same thing for Georgia. But just behind all of us at the front, Florida and Alabama are tied at 6-3, and then A&M, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt are 5-4. Everybody else got a losing record in the league, but nobody's really out of it yet. Auburn, Oklahoma, Arkansas, LSU, all 4-5. And if you're LSU, if somebody had told you, hey, after 3 weeks, you'll be tied with Auburn, Oklahoma, and Arkansas, you'd feel really good about life and say, really, Oklahoma? Yeah. Little did you know, you'd be 4-5. Ole Miss and Tennessee now 3-6. Missouri and South Carolina 1-8. And if you're Missouri and South Carolina, you start thinking about, you know, there's not going to be anything beyond Hoover. It's not going to happen. But maybe, you know, Missouri, one of those teams can jump up and upset somebody, kind of change the balance of the tournament. But if you're Ole Miss in Tennessee, you got to start worrying. Not so much about making the tournament. I think you're not hosting unless something crazy happens, right? I mean, the pace of things is just not good. One of the things that I want to share with you, too, to be somewhat complimentary of Ole Miss, right? That offense is legit. It is. But it's going to struggle against elite pitching. And to give Ole Miss a little credit, too, they're 3-6, but look at who they've lost to. They lose 2 of 3 on the road at Texas. And then they split with Kentucky, and that's kind of minge, right? Sweeping Kentucky is not the easiest thing to do. And then they get swept at home by what is probably the number 3 and number 4 team in the country. I think the 3 best teams in the country are UCLA, Texas, and Mississippi State. You can stack them how you want to. But things are going to even up a little bit for Ole Miss after this. And here's the thing, too. We're not going to root for them, but we're going to root for their opponents to lose, right? Because kind of like we saw with Vanderbilt and Tennessee, we didn't need Vanderbilt to fall apart. Vandy's won 2 out of 3 series. The only series they lost was to us. They took 2 of 3 at home against LSU. They sweep Tennessee at home. You know, we need Vanderbilt to do well. We need Ole Miss to do well. And what's interesting to me when I think about, you know, this Ole Miss team, number one, they got a really good pitching staff. They do. And if Townsend can stay healthy with Hunter Elliott and Townsend, they're going to give him a chance. And as the weather heats up and the ball flies a little bit more, they're going to have a chance to outslug some people on Sundays. You know, they don't have a bona fide Sunday starter, and there's not much depth in the bottom half of that lineup. But there are some pieces that are very intriguing. as Mike Bianco told me earlier this week, that he's got to find some way to be a little more consistent. We saw it this weekend. Guys, they only scored 6 runs on the weekend. That's one of the most prolific offenses in the country. And we held them to 6 runs. And a lot of that, too, is because of the absence of the home run. But Ole Miss goes to Florida this week, and I don't know that I want to play Florida right now. Maybe I'm wrong. But having to go down there, and listen, Mike Bianco's a good coach, right? I think they'll find a way to get one. Then the next week they have LSU going to Oxford. Mike always seems to get Ole Miss up to play. Then they go to Tennessee, and then Georgia comes in, and then they got to go to Fayetteville. And then Texas A&M comes in. Then they go to Alabama, and we're done. And so there are going to be some teams around us and teams that we're competing with for hosting destinations, and we're going to need Ole Miss to win some games against them. That's the reality of life, folks. It's kind of how it all works. Let's take a quick look at the midweek, and then we'll kind of take our first glance at the weekend. And that's next weekend we're talking about. But Little Rock, Arkansas Little Rock with Michael O'Brien, our buddy. Love Mike, love Shannon, love the whole family. They're great, and glad to see Mikey's doing well. Little Rock's 15-11, and they're going to roll into Oxford against a team that struggles midweek pitching-wise. So if you're the Trojans, you're thinking maybe we can get one. And people forget Little Rock went to LSU last year, right? In a tournament. Georgia State will be at Georgia. Austin Peay will be at Tennessee. What do you think Henry Ford's thinking right now? I mean, honestly, he's having a good year at Tennessee, but they're fairly mediocre. Wofford will be at South Carolina. The Terriers may be able to get an important midweek win. Miami of Ohio, 17-9 and 7-5 in their league. They'll visit Kentucky. Jacksonville will be at Florida. Auburn and Georgia Tech, there's a return game. And I commend both programs for playing. That's a marquee matchup. Now, Auburn won't be in the top 5 come Monday. But Auburn and Georgia Tech, it's a barn burner of a midweek series. And they should probably do that every year. So they got to go to Atlanta to play that one. And you know Auburn's going to pitch it. Oklahoma will visit Oral Roberts in Tulsa. Oral Roberts, 14-11 and 6-0 in their league. We may see them in a regional somewhere. Of course, Grambling's at Mississippi State. The Tigers are 8-16 overall, 5-12 in the SWAC. Alabama will visit Jacksonville State. Have you kept up with Jacksonville State at all, the Gamecocks? This is a dicey game for Alabama. Jacksonville State is 22-5 at Jim K. Stadium, right? That's where that game's going to be played. And they're 7-0. The Gamecocks, 7-0 in their league. Belmont will visit Vandy. Sam Houston State will visit Texas A&M. Arkansas will visit Missouri State. That may be a fun one to watch. Southern will be at LSU. Texas State will be at Texas. And in Kansas and Missouri will play in Como. So the thing that I always ask myself is who is most likely to lose on Tuesday? Pretty crazy, right? All right, we'll jump ahead again just to kind of give our first peek at what to expect this weekend kind of coming up. Ole Miss is going to be at Florida, as previously discussed. Georgia will be at Mississippi State. Vandy will be at A&M. I think we want Vandy to win that thing, don't we? We'll take care of A&M when we get there. But again, we want Vanderbilt to have the most robust roster as possible, results as possible, because we got 3 wins against them. Texas will visit South Carolina, and that's kind of the rub as we talked about. They get the benefit of playing Missouri and South Carolina. We'd love for them to avoid a sweep. Arkansas at Auburn, that's going to be a fun one right there. Two teams that kind of struggle to score, they can pitch it pretty well. Man, you like the home team, but man, it's so interesting. Arkansas may be in a situation now when you start really working through this thing. Arkansas may be needing to kind of pick it up a little bit, or Arkansas is going to be on a road. And then Alabama's at Oklahoma. Eager to see how that one turns out too. So again, it's always a big week. It's every week is big in college baseball. Once we get into conference play, because everybody's like saving their best arms, and so there's a chance of an upset in the midweek, and of course, every game matters, and that's why it's so important for us to win today, because like the difference And as I saw a guy on the Ole Miss board mention, there's a huge gap between being 4-5 and 3-6. And you say, but Steve, you're only talking a couple. No, you're one game away from 500 or you're three away from 500. So, like, even if you sweep next week, you're only 500 with 6 weekends to go. Yeah, let that sink in for a second. If you're 4-5 and you sweep next week, well, now all of a sudden you're 7-5. You feel good about life. You feel like I'm halfway there almost, right, towards hosting. And so those are the things you kind of got to consider. And I think, again, there's a little more parity in the league this year outside of South Carolina, Missouri. But, again, give both of those teams some credit for playing improved baseball. But, we're going to be scoreboard watching all year because we're trying to chase an SEC championship. And I don't know if we get there, but I feel confident that we're going to be a top eight national seed provided we stay healthy. Final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Sometimes I forget. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, how could I forget? We had a great time there. You should stay there too. So the Stark Vegas Clubhouse is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle, bar none, especially when you're bringing a larger group to town, and you should. You owe it to yourself. The older I get, the more these memories matter to me. Like the time when I can get all my kids under one roof and allow my children and afford them the chance to play with their nieces and nephew and to see those sweet children have a chance to bond with their aunts and uncle. That means so much. We don't get to do it enough. Because, you know, it's like when you're young, you're chasing your career, right? And you don't always make time for that stuff. And then the older you get, the more you look back and say, you know what, I probably worked a little bit too hard, and I'm probably the best example of that. Like, I'm constantly working. So take some time for yourself. Take some time to relax and enjoy life around the people that you love the most. And the Stark Vegas Clubhouse provides you a great venue to do that. Now, Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate. You're going to see all the amenities available to you and your guests, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit area, plenty of parking. It's just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. It's the old renovated country club out past the Highlands. Very easy to get to. You can do your tailgating right there. Now, part of that Google search, when you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, is going to pop up some booking options. You can do Airbnb. You can do Vrbo or VRBO, whichever you want to call it. They try to get all fancy with it. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website. Use promo code BSR10. BSR10, the number 10, gets you 10% off your stay just by listening to the Bulldog Boneyard show. Great stuff, right? So let's be sure and do that today. Make plans. Take care of it. All right, we had a chance to speak to Jeff Lebby on Saturday, and it was an interesting week on the beat. It's weird. I can't really explain it, but we didn't have a lot of people come to football media this week. I don't know why, you know. Saturday I kind of get, right, because like a lot of guys, like Jacob Bain went for us and covered in Oxford and had a great time. And it's his first time kind of like running the show and kind of doing all the things that we do, that normally I do. And that's all part of training, right? And so it was great for Jacob to go. But yeah, I mean, the guys that were up there are traveling up there. Like, if you were going to cover that 1 o'clock game, you needed to be gone by the time football got started. But they got done pretty early. And anyway, so we were happy to be there. And Levy was upbeat. He was upbeat. And one of the things he talked extensively about was about the defense. And they didn't hold anything back. Like, it wasn't like Arnett running a base defense. Like, they were getting after them. And that's what you need. You don't need to ramp it up. You need to get after it. You don't get to go tell your opponents before a ball game, hey, hang on a second, we got to get our feet under us. No. And Arnett went after him. And you can read and see Levy's video and comments for free at Gene's page. But he just kind of spoke about, you know, the changes. Like, we upgraded the corners room and how that room looks completely different. And how Kelly has been the leader of that room. And rightfully so, he's earned that. But he's got a lot of guys now that kind of wear the same shoe size he did. You know, we don't have a lot of these shorter squat corners, and that's no disrespect to anybody intended. But now all of a sudden you've got these longer, more physical corners. It makes it more difficult to throw the fade, right? Everybody wants to dadgum fade. Well, when you got guys with a great catch radius, it makes it more difficult to throw over them. So there's got to be more precision in the passing game. Ball placement matters a lot more. But also, too, it's teaching guys to elevate. It's teaching guys to compete for the football. It's teaching guys to leave the ground and not just run under the football and hoping you catch it. And so everybody benefits from that, from upgrading the corner room. The quarterbacks have to be better. The receivers have to be better. Talking to Miles McVay, who I thought was outstanding last week, he mentioned how much he loves the guys. And he's taking a lot of snaps at left tackle. But he says, I'm willing to play whatever. And yeah, I ask him, anybody giving you trouble? No. Ask Trevion Williams, same thing. No, no. But everybody loves going up against Bam Bam. That's Trevion Williams. Because of the fight that he brings. And, you know, we need that to kind of translate to the field on game day, too. We need him to kind of realize his potential. We think he's a guy that can play in the National Football League. And banged up the first couple of years, but I think now he's got better pieces around him. Maybe we can showcase him a little bit more. I think Arnett knows how to use him. Ty Warren is a lot of fun, too, being out there around him. Guy's very high energy. Of course, David Turner's still around as a consultant. And we're happy about that, happy for David. Great guy. Glad that we still have him and got somebody to kind of help a little bit on the recruiting angle side of it. And but anyway, just talking to Leb on Saturday, there was just, I won't say relaxed is the word. You know, maybe optimistic. You know, and that's one of the things that we've talked about. Year one, we just kind of had a thrown together roster. We had a staff that kind of had to hit the ground running the best they could. We got better roster-wise in year two. Maybe not enough, but we got better. Well, then this year, we're exponentially better over last year. And when you see the guys on April the 11th, and we're going to encourage you to come out for that, it's going to be a scrimmage. It's not going to be a spring game, and this is going to be the closest thing you're going to get to the Maroon and White game. We're not going to stream it. You're going to have to come check it out yourself. And we're not going to keep score. You're basically going to go watch a practice, okay? But you owe it to yourself to come early. It's going to be a busy day on campus. We play Tennessee that night. We need you to come watch a scrimmage, enjoy your day in Starkville, and then head on over to Duty Noble Field. Softball is going to play that day too. There's a lot going on. But you owe it to yourself. And again, a lot of people say, well, Steve, why is the Maroon and White game not part of Super Bulldog weekend? That's not something that I think is going to be permanent. Last year, we had to make decisions involving Easter. This year, we had, because of the dates, the semester end dates, the work dates, everything for football, we just couldn't get it lined up because, like right now, we're not ready to have the Maroon and White scrimmage, right? We got a home series this weekend. We got a home series next weekend. Ordinarily, you'd say, well, that makes good sense. Well, we'd already set these dates, and we don't have a home weekend where it makes sense for us. And so it's not anything that anybody's done to try to keep you guys out. It's not that situation at all. It's just a matter of the calendar kind of fell funny. So I share that with you to encourage you to make plans April 11th to be here. It should be a good time for all of us. Should be. We hope that's the case. And I'll remind you as we get closer. Because you know, I've been around Levy now for a couple years. And I like everything he had to say Saturday. There have been some other press conferences. He comes off a little coach speaky. But I thought he was very comfortable. And I think that comfortability comes from he was leaving the game field at Davis Wade Stadium, and I believe he was pleased with what he saw. There have been some other times he'll walk in there and he's almost exasperated. But there was a confidence with him. And you know, he's always been a little more optimistic than I think than most. But just coming right off the field, it's kind of difficult to hide all that stuff. So again, I encourage you to come out April 11th and see your new-look Bulldogs. And we look like an SEC team. You know, last year, our first and second team guys, for the most part, looked at, we're a lot deeper on the body type side now. We look a lot more physical. Now, does that translate to the field? I can't promise you that. But I can tell you we look like an SEC team. My hope is we play like one too. If you haven't done so, go to DutyNobleBook.com and you can get signed copies of all my sports titles. Of course, that's Flim Flam, Stark Villains, Alpha Dogs, Dog Pile, and The Dude, and the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls, which, again, they tell me that over the course of the last couple months, it's the best-selling book in the catalog. And I appreciate that. We have recently had a huge order here recently. I had to sell like 14 cases of books to fulfill some orders. And now we're in the Max, which is super cool too, down in Meridian. And of course, at Bulldog Shop down in Meridian too. Go by and see Dawn and Jason. But I thank all of you for all your support. And, you know, for the last couple of years, you know, we've kind of locked in and focused a lot on Jeans Page stuff. But I will, now that, you know, things have kind of settled a little bit, we're going to be getting back writing another book for you guys. And I don't just mean the children's book. I got to sit down and finish that thing too. But we're going to have some other stuff for you, some Mississippi State related stuff for you sooner rather than later. And I'm eager to get started on that. It's going to be a busy summer for sure. Come float with us at True Rest Floats. Bob Starkville spent a busy week. Dana was able to gather early today, which I loved. I mean, I would love for the thing to be busy, but man, it's been so busy basically from like November till now. It's been wide open. And, you know, we're floating, I guess, about 130 to 140 a week. And so you could be next. And there's a lot of those people that are repeat floaters. They become members and they come back and see us at least once a month. And I think anybody would benefit from that. I don't like to go more than 2 to 3 weeks. And Dana can notice when I do, right? Because not just because of the fact that I'm just a little more careful moving around, just my mood and my quality of sleep. I'm getting a little irritable. Right. When I don't get good sleep, I get irritable. And so if you're a person that could use a good night's rest, or maybe you got some aches and pains or some chronic anxiety, we may be able to help you. We've helped many others. Dial 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my beautiful wife, Dana. She can answer any questions you may have. And come join us over at jeanspage.com. 50% off the annual subscription price. That is a limited time offer. It's a good time to jump aboard with that as well. And again, there's just so much going on right now, and nobody's giving you better coverage than we are. And we'll be on the road. We've got 3 road series left. South Carolina, Texas, and Texas A&M will beat all those. And of course, we'll beat all the home games. And we'll make all the midweeks too. And the next thing you know, man, we're into summer camps and that kind of stuff. And recruiting will pick up and official visits. And it's a good time. And we enjoy being your eyes and ears and hope that you enjoy it as well. Well, I hope you enjoyed the fact that you got a Sunday night show. Reminder, I will be on the road most of the day Monday, headed down to my hometown of Columbia, Mississippi, which is ironic. I am from Columbia, and I will speak at a recovery meeting in Columbia for the first time since I have been in recovery, which is weird, right? But a friend of mine restarted a group down there. They asked me to come kind of as a promotional thing, but also, too, just kind of coming home and being able to share some experience, strength, and hope. So, if you're in Columbia and you want to come, you can find out by asking somebody else. And then I'll be heading back. I'll go down and see my mom and got some gifts for her. And I'll eat a Ward's Big One on the way down. And then I'll probably go eat dinner with my mom. And I'll go to the speaker meeting. And then I'll head back to Starkville. So it's going to be a busy day. So I won't be around the boards a whole lot. Probably not a lot on social media. But you'll understand why. But listen, you guys have a great week, and let's see if we can't go 4-0 again this week in college baseball. But until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.